प्रतिष्ठितामनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविरावीर्मयेधि वेदस्य मानीस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहासिः अनेनाधीतेनाहोरात्रान् संदधामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम् अवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सो लास्ट् टैम् वी वेण्ट् थ्रू द हिम् विच् इस् 135 बुक् 135th हिम् of Hiranyastupa and Girasa. And we just had enough time to go through it once, and I didn't make any remarks or conclusions after that. So today most probably I will read that, what is, so to say, appendix to these studies, and then we go to the next hymn. I'm sure we forgot already in 1 week what it was all about. Yes? Maybe I should go through once. When I go through once, then it will be the whole of time. Yeah? What would you suggest? Shall we go to the next hymn without looking back? Every time is a new hymn. Repeat again. It's a big hymn, and there are many things here which should be somehow settled. So I will read to you again in the manner I read before once to see how it sounds, because the sound I consider to be very important. I will read you in a different manner as I tried last time, as I think it should be read. It was read. Om Hvayami Agnim Prathamam Suastayi Vayami Mitra Varunau Ihavase, Vayami Ratrim, Jagato Niveshanim, Vayami Devam Savitaram Utayi. A Krishnena Rajasa Vartamano Niveshayan Amritam Martiyamcha Hiranyayena Savita Rathena Adevoyati Bhuvanani Pashyan. Yati devav pravata, yati udvata, yati shubhrabhyam, yajato haribhyam. Adevo yati savita parava topa vishva durita badhamanah. Abhivritam krishanair vishvarupam, hiranyasham yam yajato brihantam, asthat ratham savita chitrabham. Krishna Rajansi Tavishim Tadhana Vijanan Shyavah Shitipado Akhyan Ratham Hiranya Praugam Vahantah Shashvat Vishah Savitur Daiviyasya Upasthi Vishva Bhuvanani Tastu Tisro Dhyavah Savitur Dva Upasthan Eka Yamasya Bhuvane Virashat Anim Naratyam Amrita Abhitastu Iha Bravitu Ya Utat Chiketat Visuparno Antarikshani Akhyat Kabhiravepah Asurah Sunithah Kvaidanim Suriyah Kaschiketa Katamam Dhyam Rashmirasyatatana Ashtauvi Akhyat Kakubhav Prithivyah Tri Dhanua Yojana Sapta Sindhum Hiranyakshah Savita Deva Agat Dadhat Ratna Dashushe Varyani Hiranyapanih Savita Vicharshanir Ubhe dhyava prithivi antariyate apami vam badhate veti suryam abhikrishnena rajasa dhyam renoti. Hiranyahasto asurah sunitah sumrilikah suavan yatu arvan apasedhan rakshaso yatu dhanan asthadivah pratidosham grenanah. Yete panthah savitav purviyasah arenavah sukrita antarikshe tebhirno adya patibhi sugebhi rakshachano adhicha bruhi deva. I think for the last 6,000 years, nobody heard these hymns read in this particular manner. So we are trying to come back to that, how Vedic rishis could have spoken these verses with a proper udatta, where the accent morphologically is falling and following chandas. It's a reconstructed reading. Now we are going to reconstruct the meaning. Vayami Agnim Prathamam Suastayi. I call to Agni first for well-being. Vayami, I call. Vayami Mitra Varuna Vihavase. I call to Mitra and Varuna here for increase. Vayami Ratrim Jagato Niveshanim. I call to night who introduces all to the manifested world. Jagatah Niveshanim. The introducer of the world. She introduces world or habitat for us. Vayami devam savitaram utaye. I call to the god Savitar for power of growth. So I'm just reading through for you once to see the whole vision of Savitar. I skip these notes for today because they were... Nivish, Niveshani is from causative sense for those who study Sanskrit. Niveshayati, the one who is introducing Jagatah of the world, Niveshanim, Ratrim. So Rishi invokes not only the fire and the Mitra and Varuna, the consciousness and being, and Savitar, who is the Lord here growing within manifestation, but also the night, who is introducing us or placing us in this manifestation. Night itself is a habitat in which this light dwells and grows. Night is an aspect of this manifestation and has to be invoked. And it's quite interesting that Ratri is from Rutra, very close for the same family to shine. She is a shining being. The night is the shining being with her stars. If you look into this telescope, you will see that the night, there is hardly anywhere dark space. It's full of colors. Very shining. All she is, can be also from Ra, to give, to bestow upon. She is the giver or the bestower of all our riches. She upholds all the riches. The second verse again mentions the dark space, and we notice that Savitar is hardly mentioned without night and movement through night. Always night is there, something is happening with her when Savitar is moving. Let us look into this. Akrishnena rajasa vartamano niveshayan amritam martiyam cha hiranyayena savita rathena adevoyati bhuvanani pashyam. Expanding by or through the dark space, introducing and determining the immortal and the mortal in manifestation. The god Savitar comes in his golden chariot, seeing all the becomings in this world. Akrishnena rajasa vartamano, avartamano. He comes back to himself. He returns to himself by the dark space. Very simple Sanskrit, by the way. Avartamana. Avartate. Krishnena Rajasa. By the dark space, he returns to himself. Niveshaya. Introducing. Now he is introducing, and not Niveshani, she, Ratri. Introducing Amritam Martiyamcha. Immortals and mortals into this manifestation. It's, we will see in the next hymns that there will be two hands of Savitar. It's nearly as if with one hand he draws all those immortal beings into the night, and with the other hand he pulls all those beings out of the night. This is a constant movement of Savitar. With one pole he is introducing immortals into manifestation, and with the other hand he pulls them out of manifestation into immortality. Hiranyayena Savita Rathena, and with his golden chariot, Ayati, Adevoyati, he comes, Bhuvanani Pashyan, seeing all the becomings, all the worlds, overseeing all of them. Yati Devav Pravata, Yatyudvata, Yati Shubhrabhyam Yajato Haribhyam, Adevo Yati Savita, Paravatopa Vishvadurita Badhaman. The God moves by the downward path, and he moves by the upward path. By the two horses he moves, who is of the sacrifice. From the beyond, the God Savitar comes to us, destroying all the difficulties on our path. Now you can see that he is not moving in one way, in one direction. He moves in two, upward and downward at the same time. It's as if he is stirring this manifestation with his movement upward and his movement downward. He is introducing mortals from upward down, from downward, and raising all those souls upward. And these are two movements of this, the same Godhead. And he has two horses by which he moves. The association of two powers. And we will see how they are described later. The particular feature of Savitar to move in two directions is presenting him as a creator who supports the sacrifice. He is of the sacrifice, yes? Which is of the double movement. An exchange of consciousness between the higher and the lower hemispheres. And here I am quoting from the Gita, where Prajapati created all these creatures with Yajna. And he said, by Yajna you grow. The gods supporting man and man supporting God, gods, and by that you will reach the highest good. So the heaven and earth are in a constant exchange, and this exchange manifests the divine. But himself he comes from the beyond, being neither in the higher nor in the lower hemisphere, but in both and even beyond both of them. The two horses also might symbolize the double character of this manifestation, representing his double mastery and presence in the light and in the night. So when he comes from the transcendental realms, then all the crookedness of the night gets straightened up. Abhivritam Krishanair Vishvarupam Hiranyashamyam Yajato Brihantam Asthat Ratham Savita Chitrabhanov Krishna Rajansi Tavishim Tadhana. Savitar has mounted his chariot, which is covered with pearls. Abhivritam, covered Krishanaih by pearls, Vishvarupam. Hiranyashamyam, with a front, golden front, Brihantam, vast, of the one who is of the sacrifice, Yajatah. Or he is Yajatah, the one of the sacrifice. He mounts this chariot, which is Vishvarupam, which has the form of the universe. His chariot is the universal form, which he is mounting to ride. Asthat Ratham, he comes to this Ratha, to this chariot, Savita, Chitrabhan, with varied rays of light, who is of the sacrifice, Yajatah, moves towards dark spaces, Krishna Rajansi, establishing, bearing power and might, Tavishim Dadhana. He moves towards the dark spaces, Krishna Rajansi, Tavishim Dadhana. His one sentence means he is holding the strength within the the dark spaces strength. And it is very interesting that he stabilizes the dark spaces by his presence. They become something solid, some meaningful embodiment of his light. And I've referred here to Taittiriya Aranyaka, where it was said when the first creation was made and the light turned into darkness, it could not maintain itself because it was not steady. It was adhruva, shikhilam, it was shaky. It didn't have stability to be because it didn't have light of knowledge. It was the force, but it didn't know how to be. So when he entered himself by himself, it became steady. This steadiness, tavishim dadhana, he holds it firm. This dark space is not falling now apart, not disappearing into nothingness, because he is within it. Vijanan shyavah shikipado akhyam ratham hiranya praugam bahantah shashvad vishah savitur dai vyasya upasthe vishva bhuvanani tastho. Now his horses are described. Shyavah shikipadah, the wide-footed bay horses of the Lord Savitar are carrying him in the chariot with a golden forepart. They see, and by seeing manifest widely, all the beings who are born here in the material body. It's quite interesting that these horses, as Rod rightly said, they are not horses. They are not even mentioned here that they are horses. It's translated later by the tradition that these are horses because they carry the chariot, but these are forces, horses. Swiftnesses of the his powers of the Lord Savitar, and his chariot is this universe, so one can see it a bit different, not very in a literal way. So they are vi-akhyan, they are seeing and at the same time manifesting. They are shyavas, they are brown or bay horses. Shitipadak, with white feet, white-footed bay horses. Sometimes it is translated opposite, they are white horses with black feet. Shiti has two meanings, black and white. So you can choose which you like, whether they are white with black feet or they are opposite, black or brown with white feet. But what is important that they have this distinction between their feet and their bodies. So they embody two possibilities, so to say, of the light bringing into manifestation. For all who have entered this manifestation are forever held in the lap of the Divine Savitar, together with all the worlds or becomings. Shashvat vishah savitur dai viyasya upasthe vishva bhuvanani tastho. It is of Savitur, Divine Savitar, in his lap, Vishvani Bhuvanani Tastu. All the universes are in his lap constantly. So he upholds them within himself. And later we will see that this image is applied even to the night. In one of the hymns of Vamadeva, it is said that, or even Shyavashva Atreya, that Savitar embraces night from both sides, from the top and from the below. He is holding the whole manifestation in his lap. He is entering it, moves up and down within it, introducing those immortal beings and mortal beings, promoting them. But at the same time, he upholds the night from both ends. And it's quite amazing to see this image. Tisro dhyavah savitor dva upasthan, eka yamasya bhuvane virashat, anim narathyam amrita adhitastu, iha bravitu yautat chiketat. There are three heavens of Savitar. Two are in his lap and one in his realm of Yama, the home of heroes. And it's very dubious translation, Virashat, but there is no better. So I'm following here traditionalistic translation. Should be Vira, and which bears heroes, Virasha, Sa. Very dubious. It's not clear, this word, altogether. But applicable to this imagery, because they are heaven of Yama, is the heaven of the mental being which is in the universe. We are all sharing with that mind, and beyond is only higher mind and illumined mind which are in the lap of Savitar. As on the pole of the car all the parts are fixed, similarly all the things which are immortal rest on him. Here the one who perceives it should speak. Perceives it should speak. Savitar has three heavens, two of which are close to him, the higher and illumined mind, and one heaven, the proper mind, the universal mind, is in the realm of Yama, that as we know it, as our mental being, the place where the souls take the physical body. The very fact that the higher and illumined mind are in his proper domain, though they are part of the lower hemisphere of the night, is a significant characteristic of Savitar, who expands by and through night, manifesting the divine in the world. And I think it is one of the most important features of the higher and illumined mind, which we don't see yet. Why those two heavens are there, beyond, on the top of our lower hemisphere, and we cannot reach to them somehow, and they are still here. Shubindu speaks about it, explains the function of illumined mind. The world you saw, he speaks to Sadhak in one letter, above the head was the plane of the illumined mind, which is a level of consciousness much higher than the human intelligence. It is there that the divine light and power come down to be transmitted to the human consciousness, and from there they work and prepare the transformation of the human consciousness and even the physical nature. So that is that link which receives the transcendental light here in the lower hemisphere. Visuparno antarikshani akhyat gabhiravepah asurak sunitha kva idanim suriyah kashchiketa katamam dhyam rashmi rasyatatana. And this is a very beautiful lyrics. The one with perfect two wings of the higher and lower hemisphere. It's as if the bird has two wings coming from the higher and lower hemisphere of two worlds. Oversees and enlightens all the inner spaces between heaven and earth. Quivering deeply with the ecstasy of his supreme bliss, he is the mighty Lord, the perfect guide. Where is Surya now? Kva idanim Surya? Who can perceive? Kashchiketa. Katamam dhyam. Where? To what heaven has his ray expanded? Katamam dhyam rashmir asya atatana. To how far, to what heaven his ray is reaching? Who knows this? Who can say? Who perceives here where the end of this manifestation? And where is now sun? There is no sun. It is hidden by the rays of the light. The rays of the light are manifesting the sun, and the sun itself is veiled and not visible. This is Savitar. Savitar is entrusted by the sun, by Surya, to do here the work of manifestation. It is the Lord in the making. Where Surya is the manifestation of the supermind. So the question, kva idanim Surya? Where is now Surya? Kaschiketa, who can see him? Surya. Katamam Dhyam, toward far heaven, Rashmirasyatatana, his ray has expanded. Who can say where it ends? There is no end to his manifestation. It's a very beautiful spiritual lyrics. Many times I said that when I go on the bicycle or bike, it comes to me, Katamam Dhyam Rashmirasyatatana. There is no end to his wonders of manifestation.
So we can say that Savitri is an action of Surya. Surya is beyond Savitri.
Savitri, in this sense, it is he, the Lord of the sun. Surya is the self of the sun. Surya is Atman, and Savitar is the Lord, Vashi. He is the possessor of his knowledge, and he brings this knowledge into manifestation. Surya is the self of the supermind, which will be manifested, and it is said that Savitar clears up the path to see Surya, to come to Surya in a direct sense. But much to be done before. No? One cannot clear up the path very fast, so he has to engage, and he has this engagement with night. We will see in every hymn there will be some particular knowledge how he is engaged with this night and what is happening in manifestation. Sri Aurobindo puts one word, Surya Savitri, meaning that supramental self and Lord together. He doesn't want to separate them. He doesn't want to speak about them in different terms.
Savitri has become feminine.
It's Savitri. It is his daughter, yes, of Savitar.
Of Savitar.
Yes. His daughter, who was born here to save the world, to save all of us. Savitri, long A. He is Savitri, Savitar, short A. Savitri is Pratipadika form. I usually use the word Savitar, not to confuse, because in English there is no length. Savitri and Savitri would be the same. But Sri Aurobindo writes everywhere Savitri, so I changed it again. I use his way. Ashtau vyakhyat kakubhav prithivyah tridhanva yojana saptasindhum hiranyakshah savita deva agat dadhat ratna dashu shivariyani. The eight peaks of the earth he has illumined with his look, and the three regions of the desert and the seven rivers. Shining with his golden eyes, the god Savitar should come and establish the treasures most desirable for the giver of sacrifice. Now here the symbolism comes. Eight peaks of heaven, they can be identified as the space, eight directions of the space, three dhanva, these deserts, these are physical, vital and mental being which needs the touch of the divine. These deserts have to be cultivated. Seven rivers, these are seven streams of consciousness which have to be illumined here, and visible and active in the manifestation. And he brings this and establishes Ratnani, Dadhat Ratnani Dashu Shevariyani, the most desirable wealth he establishes for the giver of himself, for the one who is sacrificing. We were dwelling on this concept of sacrifice, and there is no end to it to describe it, what it means, but generally it means that one gives oneself for this higher consciousness. Everything what one has is, wants to be. He entrusts this to the guidance of a higher consciousness. Usually it is the fire which is kindled here, and into this fire we cast all our offerings. And fire takes it and brings it to heaven. and we change, we transform our nature by that action. Hiranyapanih savita vicharshanir ubhe dhyava prithivi antariyate apamivam badhate veti suryam abhikrishnena rajasa dhyam renoti. Savitar with golden arms, active, enters the space in between heaven and earth. He removes all obstacles and compels the sun to appear here. He veti. So apamivam badhate veti suryam. He manifests the sun. He brings sun forward. And by through the dark spaces he moves towards heaven. The key function of Savitar is stated here. Abhikrishnena rajasa dhyam renoti. He approaches or moves towards heaven by the dark space. Or he moves, spreads heaven by the dark space. Both can be. Even more translations can be made. Renoti is a very dense word. Falls upon the heaven over dark spaces. Or throws, if you want, all the dark spaces onto the heaven. Would you like this vision? It takes all these dark spaces and throws them onto the heaven. So whatever happens from this alchemy, it would be something worth. It is this characteristic which makes Savitar the god of the sacrifice, Yajata. For it is through and by the darkness that he arrives at heavenly light. Therefore it was mentioned in the previous verse that there are three heavens of Savitar, of which one is mortal, and the two are properly his high and illumined mind, in Sri Aurobindo's terminology. And these two heavens of Savitar, which actually make the connection with the supreme light from above of the intuitive and over mental levels. Thus he links the higher and the lower hemisphere over these two regions of the night, spreading them as it were, abhikrishnena rajasadhyam renati. He approaches or moves towards heaven by the dark space. I think for me these two, the higher mind and the illumined mind, become most precious, because now I can see something of their function. Before I never could understand why they were there. But now, because of them, the evolution can take place altogether. Because it is his proper realms in the lower hemisphere. So, because he embraces night from both sides, he can enter through those spaces. He can impose those higher realities into them, introduce them into the night, and take all those involved beings and pull them out of the night to the heaven, throw the dark spaces onto the heaven.
So actually this one being supremely connects all this between words here with us. So we can communicate this information with Gajan and ask him to help us with our difficulties.
Yeah. Yes, they did it for so many years, thousands of years, they were dealing with this vision. But Sri Aurobindo says that Savitar is the representative of the Lord here. He is the Lord. He is this Ishvara who arranges all this manifestation in Ishvara's terms. He is not that Purusha who is unengaged. He is Purusha who is engaged. And the name for that is Ishvara, the Lord. So we see his engagement with the night. In every verse, he is doing something, moving something, up and down, and throughout, and from behind, and in between. He's everywhere in this manifestation of the divine. He is engaged. Hiranyahasta, again. Hiranyahasta, with golden arms, Asura Sunitha, Sumrilikah suavan yatu arvan, apasedhan rakshaso yatu dhanan, asthat devah pratidoshan krenana. May the mighty God and the perfect guide, Sunidhah, with the golden hands, arms, Hiranyahastah, come straight to us. Yatu arvak, straight, bringing his own power for our growth and protection. Suavan yatu, yes? Supremely gentle, sumrilikah. Driving away all the rakshasas and yatudhanas, all those creatures of the night, he is driving apasedhan. He destroys them. He makes them disabled. Apasedhan. He makes their siddhis, apa, fall down. He makes their powers not effective in this manifestation. Asthat devah, stood the god, pratidosham garenanah. The god stood there who is invoked in the darkness or against the darkness. Who is sung against the darkness. Pratidosham grenanah. Grenanah, who is invoked or sung or praised. Pratidosham, against the darkness. Again, here we have a confirmation of Savitar's relations with the night. He is the god who is invoked in the night, driving away all the rakshasas and other demons, coming to us directly with his support, protection, increase, mercy, perfect guidance and mighty power in his golden hands. He can always extend and save the soul in the darkness. Yete panthah savitah purviyasah arenavah sukrita antarikshi tebhirno adya pathibhi sugebhi rakshachano. Adicha Bruhideva. O Savitar, those paths of yours which are first and pure are well made in the Antariksha, in the space between heaven and earth. It is by those paths today which are easy to travel, you protect us, O God, and on those paths you protect us from dark forces. It is interesting that these paths are mentioned which are made of old, the paths to cross over the abyss. So there are safe passages to cross to the other shore and to come back and move us by those safe paths, it is invoked. The passages over the abyss where a soul can fall into the night.
It's in the vital plane.
It's in the vital plane.
When will they learn those paths?
By Savitar, it is said here. Those first paths of yours, yes? Yete, those of yours paths, those paths of yours which are first and pure, are well made in the vital plane. It is by those paths today, which are easy to travel, you protect us. It's quite interesting that there were such paths made. To travel. Good to know where to go.
What to concentrate. Right. Also, which are easy to travel, that is like the sunlit path.
Yes. This is sunlit path. Yeah. Excellent. Oh. Lit by the sun path. So, this is the end of this hymn. And I made here an appendix and I wanted to read with you this. I do not know. If you have some questions, comments, before we go into it, please do.
This is the first from the beginning, Vintra and Bhavana, for the increasing. What it means for the increasing? How can you explain that Vintra and Bhavana?
Yeah, the whole thing is always somehow increasing is essential for our growth. Growth is increasing. Mitra and Varuna, they represent the divine consciousness here in manifestation and divine existence being. So both are necessary. It's like sat and chit, or like the self and the Lord. They are the elder brothers of Savitar. By the way, they are first in the rank, yes? Varuna, Mitra, Aryaman, Bhaga, then Daksha, Amsha, and Savitar, Surya Savitri. Savitar is the last one, the seventh one of those. And he embodies all of them in himself. He represents all of them. That's why they are mentioned always together.
So is that the first being to whom they pray on the rank somehow?
They are the greatest among all, Varuna and Mitra. The divine being and the divine consciousness.
And Agni represents the aspiration and psychic light, aspiration.
It is said that Agni is rising from Vivasvat, from the sun, from this sun which is engaged in manifestation. So Agni is his force. It's a transformative power which drives our consciousness to the fulfillment.
I have also one question. Where the Svar is on this one? Savitar, how do you make the Svar?
Yes, this is a big question, and I need to show the whole scheme then.
Okay.
And maybe I will do it in one particular presentation. Maybe next time, the whole presentation of all the worlds, how they are seen, we will dedicate 1 hour to it and see how Vedic vision is maintained by these hymns. Because it's a big question and I don't want to answer it like that. Svar is three worlds beyond the heavens. It's three luminous realms. beyond these three dhyavah, tisro dhyavah. There are three rojanas which are there. Illumined mind, over mental consciousness, and over mental gnosis, or supramental over mind, as Sri Aurobindo says. These three highest levels which are coming close to contact with the supermind. And there is triple supermind beyond, yes. Proper supermind. No, not Sachidana. Yes, so we have several transcendental realms. We have to transcend ourselves several times. It's not only one time we transcend and we are there. We transcend and we are in the higher realm, then we are in the higher mind, then we transcend, we are in the Svar world, then we transcend, we are in the super mind, then we transcend, we are in the transcendental, finally, Satchitananda. So there are many transcendental worlds to us. And they have to be seen in one vision, as Vedas speak about them.
So nothing can actually ever go wrong?
Truly speaking, not. Unless you are caught by Rakshasas and Yatudhanas, then...
Something in you, which is always there. So it's really deep there.
Yes. If you know about this, yes.
But if
you don't...
If I remember in my life a few moments that were really scary, there was always something within me that called and protected. Not me consciously. So I feel that.
Yes. If you don't let your mind lead you too long, then.
Yeah.
But if you trust your mind, then it can lead you somewhere else. Also. It's a color of the supermind, gold.
And what is then the difference when I heard about the gold light and the white light? That's also Aditi has the white light.
Aditi is transcendental, the Divine Mother, infinite consciousness. She is white. I can't say why. I know it from Sri Aurobindo. Don't ask me why she is white.
Inside is also gold, in the Aditi flower. It's inside the gold.
Yes.
The
The core is golden, white lotus with golden core.
Is it like very intense? Who is this core?
Just now we were trying to say who it was. I think that was an attempt to answer that.
He's the God.
He's the Lord. He's the Lord of manifestation, who is the God in the making, if you like.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to Hans's comment that because I'm doing a presentation tonight on the traveler of the world, and it's quite clear that plenty can go wrong. It's not at all the case that because the Lord is there in the night, nothing can go wrong. In fact, he throws the night so that everything can go wrong. Because only by drawing out the light in the darkness can there be anything at all. So the wrongness of everything is the manifestation.
So you are right, finally. Nothing can go wrong because we are already completely wrong. That means we are absolutely right.
the whole book of the Traveler of the World is about the night. And that is the...
But that maybe it was necessary to develop.
Right. I guess so.
Is Savitar is worshipped in India? Do they have temples?
The problem... There is a fundamental problem with Savitar and Surya in India, because in post-Vedic literature what happened, that the rays of the sun, that what Savitar represents, were considered by all this tradition coming, Mayavadins tradition, not only Mayavadins, but other traditions also took this view that these realms of the ray of the sun are of Maya kind, of illusion kind. Yeah? And because of that they had to be bypassed. So bypassed in the sense that we have this imprisonment and we have to shoot to the absolute, and there is our solution. Leaving all this as Maya, something which is not worth dealing with. And what happened, that denying the rays of the sun disappeared. The cult of the sun is no more there. It's something rather negative in post-Vedic literature.
But the Konark temple is the sun.
Konark temple is the only expression, and you see in what sense. This is exactly where it stays. Yeah? The sun as a manifestation, Konark is an excellent example of the sun. But what is presented there as manifestation in that Konark temple? You will see. It's something else. It's not really that vision of the manifestation of the divine. It's all turned into some kind of thing which you have to leave if you are a true yogin. Especially you have to avoid that Konark temple and go somewhere shooting to the absolute. And that shooting to the absolute and denying the rays, disappearing of the sun, also removed all the considerations for the physical life, for the body. Body became as an imprisonment and as a place which we have to leave as soon as possible. Nature itself was denied. Purusha was reaffirmed. And that is the whole post-Vedic tradition. So now coming back to that, that nature is nothing but his manifestation, and Savitara is dynamically present here and manifests everything by the night and by the light, we can have absolutely another view on things. The divine manifestation is possible after all. It's not something of that illusory kind which was presented in Mayavada. It's Sri Aurobindo's view. You disagree?
I think that's historically correct. But I also think that it's historically symbolic. Because what you just described is absolutely necessary. It's absolutely necessary for that light to be lost, and for that denial to participate in evolution in order to come back through mind to the possibility of going beyond mind. And this is another thing that Sri Aurobindo describes at great length.
No, I fully agree with you. It's exactly that what happened, and it could not happen otherwise. But it happened. So, and it wasn't that what we are looking for now. It is something else we are looking for. And he also explains this, that the denial of the, it's from the beginning of life divine, the denial of the ascetic and the denial of the materialist. We can see both denials there as necessary, because there was no other way to really come out from that situation. He says, because Vedic rishis failed, and he uses this word, I'm just fixing it, failed to transform earthly life. The whole tendency was turned towards the absolute, and there was no other choice. Somebody had to keep up to the absolute, denying life. Otherwise, this knowledge will be lost, would be lost. Also,
just describe this process of forgetting and coming back to the mystery.
Yeah.
Realize,
yeah.
And
yes, and it was the process of creation. He had to be lost and found again in you or in her. In her, he lost himself and found himself in her. This is from Savitri. He has to be lost there and to find himself in you again. This is a constant theme which is also in the Veda. So if we look, it's 5 o'clock, if we look at this, what I made few remarks here, which are important for this hymn and Sri Aurobindo's quotation with explanation of the night, then we will conclude with this, yeah? The symbol of the Godhead returning or coming back to himself over the regions of the night, of the inconscient, is the secret process of all manifestation. It is as if the divine is revealing his own being to his own consciousness in detail by rediscovering himself and you in all possible varieties, qualities and relations. Now, to have all those qualities, varieties and relations, there had to be some process. And this is the process. In order to do so, he had to make first the consciousness, bliss and truth of his infinite being fall, and then to engage himself with them by entering them, as it were, bringing them back to their full divine awareness and power. In this process of engaging himself, the phenomena of time, space and causality came into being, reorganizing the fallen consciousness, bliss, truth and being on the scale of gradual recovery to be able to reveal all the infinite qualities of the divine to the divine in all possible ways. To know and experience itself not only in its supreme ever-present identity, as the mother says, but also in its newly discovered infinite unity. And that is the difference why the manifestation took place. He wanted to experience himself in unity with himself, and not in identity as one being. He wanted to be many and to experience that unity feeling. That's a very beautiful and simple way to explain the reason of manifestation. The night conceals within her bosom the Lord growing towards his own supreme identity, towards himself. And the dawn gradually reveals what the night keeps hidden there. The dawn is a twin sister of the night. They are twin sisters, the dawn and night. She is the messenger of Savitar and the beloved of Surya, the supramental Godhead. He follows her path, says the Lord, and her husband traveling from the beyond through the night towards manifestation. When she moves, as Kutsad Girasa says, she moves to there where beings born in the body expand the blissful for the blissful And there he, the Lord, moves after her as young man moves after a woman, seeking...
Husband.
Yes, okay.
Wife.
Yes, there is no husband there, but okay, let... Okay, yes, yes. Yes, well, yeah, we will come to that. That hymn we will read also. It is this fundamental characteristic of Savitar to be engaged within the creation and to manifest things in and through the night that makes him a central figure among the Adityas, the seven son of Aditi. The three heavens of Savitar mentioned, we just described them, of the higher mind, I skip this. And in the hymn of Vamadeva to Savitar we find such a verse. This is the description of these three rojanas you were asking, and I will give the whole presentation separately. There is a passage, and with this I will conclude, in the Secret of the Veda, where Sri Aurobindo explains the phenomenon of Vedic night. But the cave is only the home of the Panis. Panis are these dark forces, or the indriyas of action, which are not illumined and which are grabbing light when it comes and hiding it into this inconscient cave or subconscious cave. Their field of action is earth and heaven and the midworld. They live there, but the action is spreading all over. It's quite interesting. There are the sons of the inconscient, but themselves are not precisely inconscient in their action. They have forms of apparent knowledge, maya. They have this knowledge, and maya means knowledge. Knowledge to measure things out, to know what they are in manifestation. But these are forms of ignorance, the truth of which is concealed in the darkness of the inconscient, and their surface or front is falsehood, not truth. Inside they are not falsehood. Outside, in the front, they are falsehood, not truth. On their surface only. For the world as we see it has come out of the darkness concealed in darkness. The deep, the abysmal flood that covered all things, the inconscient ocean, apraketam salilam. In that non-existence the seers have found by desire in the heart and thought in the mind that which builds up the true existence. There is something concealed within this darkness. This non-existence of the truth of things, asat, is the first aspect of them that emerges from the inconscient ocean, and its great darkness is the Vedic night, ratrim jagato niveshanim, we just read about it, which holds the world and all its unrevealed potentialities in her obscure bosom. She holds, covers, everything is within her. Night extends her realm over this triple world of ours, and out of her in heaven, in the mental being, dawn is born who delivers the sun out of the darkness, where it was lying concealed and eclipsed, and creates the vision of the supreme day in the non-existence, in the night, asati ketum, the vision in the asat, in the non-being. It is therefore in these three realms that the battle between the lords of light and the lords of ignorance proceeds through its continual vicissitudes. So, this is another vision of the Veda where the night is explained as a container of all potentialities of the divine. And her sister, twin sister Dawn, born there, reveals the sun in the night. Asati Keto, the vision, the consciousness, is revealed in the envelope of the night.
It's interesting.
Yes, these are the illumined and higher mind realms. Where the dawn is born. So we end here, we're here with a short mantra. Om. Aham me manasi pratishthitam, mano me vachi pratishthitam, aviravirmaedhi vedasya maanisthah, shrutam me ma prahasihi, anena dhitena horatran samdadhami, rutam vadishyami, satyam vadishyami, tanmam avatu, tadvaktaram avatu, avatu mam, avatu vaktaram, avatu vaktaram. Om shanti shanti shanti.